our next guest, one of the most versatile and knowledgeable in our business from her time as a anchor at ESPN. She's worked college, pro, hoops, football, you name it. She'll be working the sidelines for tomorrow's Civil War with Ted Robinson and Big Red. Follow her on Twitter. The handle is at Cindy Brunson AZ. We welcome in Cindy Brunson. Cindy, really appreciate you taking the time to join us. How are things with you?
Oh, fantastic. Happy New Year to you guys. And how much do I owe you for that introduction?
Your time will be sufficient this time, Cindy. So, you know, as a first-time guest, I mean, I know a lot of people know who you are. But, you know, considering where we're located, I don't think I realized you're a Pacific Northwesterner. So you're a Seattle area native, went to Washington State, and you're also a big fan of the Seattle teams.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I grew up in Tacoma, just south of Seattle, graduated Curtis High School before I matriculated at Washington State, and love everything about the Seattle Seahawks in the playoffs right now because that was so unexpected. I'm very curious to see what's going to happen with the Mariners, and of course, I want the Sonics back in Seattle.
You know, I'm a native North Jersey guy, hardcore New York fan, you know, but wired into the Seattle teams because I've lived here 25 years, and you kind of mentioned it. The Seahawks this year, the job that, whether it's John Schneider and Pete Carroll working together, I mean, how surprising and impressive has this run been?
It's stunning. It reminds me a lot of Washington State football, quite honestly.
Right.
Everybody picked that team to win four or five games, and they messed around and won a program record 11. And now the Seahawks have an opportunity because they're in the contest to win a second Super Bowl title.
Well, obviously, like I said, a diehard New Yorker and a Giants fan, so we have something in common. You're rooting for your team. I'm rooting against the Cowboys.
Are you a part of that anti-Eli bandwagon, too?
You know what? Beloved because of what he did. I don't think he's totally washed up, but they at least have to start planning for the post-Eli era. Does that make sense?
It does, but he beat Tom Brady twice. So I think you got to cut him some slack.
I've cut him a bunch of slack. I've got to.
You know who you sound like? Linda Cohn.
Oh, really? Well, I'm also a Rangers fan, so we definitely have that in common. You know, I know you're also a huge fan. You cover women's sports. And, of course, last night we witnessed a little bit of history with Baylor becoming the first team to beat UConn in forever. But
yeah, 126 games in a row in the regular season. Not too shabby. The last team to do that, of course, was our very own Stanford here in the Pac-12.
You know, so beyond the specifics, as a connoisseur of the game and the sport, I mean, how do you even describe a streak like what UConn put together?
It's remarkable, and I had an opportunity to cover UConn and Gino Auriemma when they played at Cal right before Thanksgiving, and or rather right before Christmas, and he's remarkable in how he has to keep reinventing what success is because he keeps rewriting the record books. He's fresh off an 11th straight trip to a Final Four. He's won 11 national championships. Nobody is doing what he's doing, and yet he continues to impress. And I love his attitude of, am I bad for women's basketball? No. Come beat me. Be better than we are, and it elevates the game. And that's just what Baylor did last night.
That was fantastic, riveting. I've got one more general question because having enjoyed your work for many years, you know, beyond being professional and prepared, you always seem to bring a genuine joy to the table. How important is it to you that people who tune in kind of get how much you love and appreciate that you get to do this?
I am a big fan of Vern Lundquist. He and Keith Jackson were the soundtrack to my college football Saturdays and basketball Sundays and Thursdays. And I want to bring that same kind of joy. There was a remote control stoppability to those two individuals in particular, in my opinion, because they just seemed to be having so much fun. And I get it. The real world can be exhausting. All you have to do is watch a few minutes of CNN or MSNBC or Fox, whatever you tune to know that the real world is just grating at times. But sports is the ultimate escape, and it's also the ultimate form of reality television. You never know what's going to happen when the ball gets tipped up. We knew UConn was in trouble last night because they had been tested by Oklahoma and they had been tested by Cal, but nobody had been able to push one into that loss column for them until last night, and you wouldn't have known it unless you watched it. And that's the kind of joy that I bring to the table. I know that I'm lucky to get paid to talk about sports for a living.
Yeah, I always say, nobody screw anything up, because if I have to go work for a living, I'm going to get really angry. We're talking with Cindy Brunson of the Pac-12 Network, calling tomorrow's Civil War here in town with Ted Robinson and Bill Walton. So when you find out you're teamed with Big Red, do you have to brush up on your Grateful Dead, historical landmarks, or do you just light a candle for Ted or Roxy or whoever's handling play-by-play?
You know, it's just an enjoyable experience, and Bill just gets it. You're not going to find anybody else in this business who bear hugs life like Bill Walton does, and it's just a joy to be around. I'm excited to tell him about my new bike that I got for Christmas. Yes, I sound like a five-year-old, but it's true. Because I know that he's going to be juiced to hear that story. So it's the little things outside of hoops. And, of course, he's going to be absolutely off the chain because it is the Civil War and it is a huge rivalry. And we're in Eugene, and he loves to say Matthew Knight Arena and all of that stuff. So it's going to be a good time.
You know, living here, I'm not saying this for effect. I've not gone to games so I could hang out with my buddies and watch them to hear him call the games. So,
really?
I mean that. I mean, it's the ultimate compliment, but he just kills me. It's awesome. So, so working for the Pac-12 Network, obviously the heartbeat of this league, I'm sure the topic of what's up with the conference has surfaced. I mean, I think the number was worst non-conference performance by a power league in two decades, whether it's the banner carriers being down, Oregon dipped. What's the buzz? What are you hearing or thinking about? Why such a shaky performance for the conference so far?
Well, I mean, we started our Pac-12 media days with, you know, multiple questions from a variety of media outlets across the country about the NCAA investigations involving several of our premier programs and schools. And it's just tough. And it was a carryover from, you know, a lackluster football bowl season dating back to last year. And it's just wild. And now you hear the stories about, well, is the Pac-12 going to try and create some revenue-generating opportunities so that the member schools have more money to work with to improve facilities and improve recruiting? You feel like there is some slippage, but part of me thinks that it's cyclical. You know, Duke isn't always on top. They have a little bit of a dip now and again. And I think that's what's happening with Oregon. I mean, nobody knew at the beginning of the season that Bol Bol would go, you know what, I'm good, I've got an ankle, and I'm going to sit and wait for the NBA. If he'd have continued to play, who knows? Nobody knew that Wooten was going to break his jaw and be out for half of the Pac-12 season. So I'd like to think that it's a little more cyclical than slippage, but definitely as a Power 5, the Pac-12 has to perform better in the big-time sports.
A couple final thoughts for Cindy Brunson of the Pac-12 Network. You know, you mentioned Oregon was the pick to win the conference by the media, and you mentioned the reasons, also Lewis King, injuries, offensive inconsistencies. But now being here, preparing for this game, you know, talking with the guys, what have you heard about maybe what they need to do to make a push in league and maybe get in the big dance picture?
Yeah, I was at a women's basketball shoot-around with Oregon today, and then the men followed in practice. And the mood of the team is very up. It's just next man up. You know, is it going to be Miles Norris? And those type of young guys, it's like you're here for a reason. Now show us what you got, because no one is going to take minutes away from you. We just don't have that much left on the bench. So show up and show out. And I was kind of surprised because I thought, wow, body blow after body blow, especially in the last week. And I was really impressed. It was light. It was loose. It was much like the women's shoot around, honestly. So I'm very excited because Oregon State is treating this like a crazy business trip. The team came in early. They will shoot first thing in the morning. They are staying in Eugene overnight. They usually drive down day of from Corvallis. And Tinkle is like, nope, we don't play well when we drive day of. We're coming in the night before. We are going to get this W. He feels like it's an opportunity to make a statement in conference and against Oregon. And enough of splitting the season series like they did last year. He wants to sweep.
Yeah, and I think this is, first of all, I think it's going to be a heck of a game. But somebody had mentioned to me you were at the women's shoot-around, and the women's program here had pretty much evaporated. I mean, people there were hundreds of people at the game, and Kelly Graves came in, and obviously landing Sabrina and some of the magnificent recruits in this recent run of success. But so your thoughts on this team, and add in, how much fun are they to be around?
You know, it's a great group of personalities. Ruthie Heber, Sabrina Ionescu, as you mentioned, and Maite Cazorla. Everybody's just having a good time, and they just want to see how far they can go. And if I lived in the Willamette Valley, let alone just in Eugene, I would become a season ticket holder, because you never know when Sabrina is going to drop a triple-double. How often do you get to say, I saw that in person as a sports fan? Just a loose attitude. They want to have fun. They felt like the season got cut short last year, especially after all the success of winning the Pac-12 championship in the tournament. So they have work to do, but they're having a very good time doing it.
Folks, she's Cindy Brunson. Just love your work, and as I mentioned earlier, your passion that you bring to the broadcast. I hope you have a terrific game, a healthy, happy, successful 2019. Travel safe, and thank you so much for finding the time to join us, Cindy. Hope to catch up again down the road.
Oh, sounds good. And a shout-out to whoever put out that tweet with the Scooby-Doo attached to it. That is one of my favorite cartoons. Scooby used to babysit me when I was a kid, I swear. So I saw that, and I was like, okay, this was the right decision to make.
Nope, that's my producer, Nick. You just made his day, Cindy.
Nice. Well done, Nick. I'm giving you an electronic high five.
Awesome. Listen, again, thanks so much for joining us, and have a terrific broadcast tomorrow.
All right, thanks, we'll do.